Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, my interview with the author of this summer's absolute must-read, Tommy Orange. But first, President Trump is denying that the U.S. threatened Ecuador at a World Health Organization meeting over a resolution on breastfeeding. The New York Times reported that U.S. officials were concerned about infant formula manufacturers and that a breastfeeding resolution might be contrary to those interests. We're turning now to Michelle Barry. She's a senior associate dean for global health at Stanford. We find her today in Western Massachusetts. Michelle, hey, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Good morning, Carrie. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Do these resolutions on an issue like breastfeeding carry any weight? I mean, why would they be controversial in the first place?
They're incredibly controversial. In fact, I would call them anti-public, anti-science. There's good data that breastfeeding decreases mortality in children, saves lives. Yeah, this is a completely what I would call fake news by Trump.
Okay, you say fake news because you believe that the U.S. tried to intervene in stopping this resolution promoting breastfeeding. Is that right?
Yes. I think basically this was a ploy to enhance or help the baby formula companies. It's a $70 billion industry.
Wow.
Primarily a U.S. industry. And I think that's what's happening.
I was going to ask you about that. Does the U.S. export a lot of the baby formula that is used around the world? And do you know why that is?
I think it's obvious for profit. And yes, they do. And, you know, this really harkens back to a scandal many, many years ago with the Nestle company, where they actually sent out women dressed as nurses to the developing world to push infant formula. And what happens with this infant formula is it's powdered, it's reconstituted with water, and as you know, in many of these low-resource settings, you can't find safe water. So what happened were these infants started dying of gastroenteritis.
Wow.
And the same risk is there. And when if you push... And that's what angered me even more, because I don't know if you saw Trump tweeted the next day when he got a lot of criticism, is that we don't want to keep formula from those malnourished women.
Yes.
Which is just antithetical to everything we know, because if you send this formula to areas where you can't reconstitute with safe water, you're just going to kill more women.
So the suggestion from the president in that tweet that you just mentioned is that there are women in places around the world who don't have the nutritional support to breastfeed or to provide nutritional breast milk. You're saying that
isn't true. Anti-science.
How so?
Malnourished women, as long as they're well hydrated, their breast milk is as healthy as anyone else. Breast milk itself, it's really important not only for antibodies and protection against infections, which you know in these areas of low-resource settings, infections are a big killer of children, but it's also important for behavioral attachment, skin-to-skin bonding. There's been a lot of evidence that this improves neural development as well as the nutritional benefits and host defenses.
Michelle, you might have seen what the Health and Human Services spokesperson said about this. Again, as you say, once the criticism really started to come at the United States, she emailed a statement to National Public Radio that said the issues being debated were not about whether one supports breastfeeding. The United States was fighting to protect women's abilities to make the best choices for the nutrition of their babies. How do you interpret what they're really saying there?
Backpedaling, damage control. You know, there's no question that the WHO has come out strongly pushing breastfeeding around the world. In fact, their recommendation is a little bit different than the American Academy of Pediatric Society. They actually recommend breastfeeding for up to 2 years in low-resource settings, where our recommendations is, 6 months to a year.
What do you think will happen?
Actually, 12 months is what...
12 months, okay.
Yeah.
What do you think will happen as a result of this?
I he's really the laughing stock of everyone in public health. The reason the New York Times piece came out is everybody has been absolutely furious. Again, it's anti-science.
Michelle,
it makes you really question as to who is advising. He doesn't have a scientific advisor, as far as I know. Do you know?
I don't think he has filled that position, no.
Right. Because if anyone in public health were advising him, this is just untenable.
Michelle, I appreciate you letting us interrupt your vacation. Thank you much for this.
No, that's no problem. It's a work vacation. It's a
okay.
Vacation. Work vacation. Usually at Stanford.
Right. Michelle Berry is the Senior Associate Dean for Global Health at Stanford, and we found her today in Western Massachusetts. Now, as Michelle noted, and you've probably been reading this morning in the news, the president is at the NATO conference in Brussels, and he's also been making headlines because he's criticizing America's allies, saying that they don't pay enough for defense. Host Rachel Martin discusses the rocky start to the summit with Scott Horsley, who's along on the trip.
The theme of this summit is strength and unity, but not a lot of unity right out of the gate here, and that's because the president claims many NATO members are not strong enough. He has been haranguing the members of the alliance ever since he came into office to spend more on their own defense. He seems to think of that as a kind of a protection racket, as if that spending automatically flows to the United States. He's talked about demanding reimbursement for back payments, as if these are bills that have come due to the United States. In fact, this is money that the allies are supposed to be spending on their own defense. Mm-hmm. And it's true, many of them have fallen short of the target. Of spending 2% of their economies on defense. In fairness, that target is really for 2024, and I guess that's what he's referring to when he says not over a decade, but he wants them to be spending that right now.
I mean, the NATO leader, Jens Stoltenberg, has been hearing this criticism, as you mentioned, for a long time from Donald Trump. So he must have been prepared for it. Did he have a response?
Well, he tried rather diplomatically to emphasize the positive and point out, as the U.S. ambassador to NATO, Kay Bailey Hutchison, has done, that every member of the alliance has been increasing their defense spending. In fact, this has been something that the alliance has been focused on ever since Russia illegally annexed Crimea in 2014. The numbers have been trending up. Now, President Trump claim credit for that. He turned to Stoltenberg and said, well, who's responsible for that increase? And Stoltenberg flattered the president by suggesting it was his haranguing that had led countries to do that. But he also, when it came to Germany and Russia, he again tried to sort of smooth things over and said, well, there are some things on which the alliance disagrees, but we're here all about protecting one another, and tried to underscore the enduring nature of this defense alliance, mm-hmm. which the president seems to be doing everything he can to undermine.
I mean, the president was blasting all the NATO countries, but he had particular words for Germany. This is over this controversial energy deal that Germany and Russia have inked. There is no love lost between these two leaders in general, though. I mean, President Trump has taken Angela Merkel to task over a whole host of issues, right?
Right, and he's particularly concerned because Germany, of course, is the biggest economy in Europe, and so the president feels like Germany's relatively small spending on its own defense is particularly egregious. There's a long history there, but the president feels as if Merkel's government could do more and should do more to spend on its own defense. There is also, of course, a ongoing trade dispute between the United States and the EU. Europe has been hit already by stiff tariffs from
right.
the United States on steel and aluminum, and the president has threatened to impose new tariffs on automobiles as well. So You know, he, as the president set off on this trip, the head of the EC said, you know, you ought to be nice to your allies. You don't have that many around the world. But the president seems bent on thumbing his nose at NATO allies,
right, especially
as he
talks
nice about his upcoming summit with Vladimir Putin of
right,
Russia.
Exactly, saying that the president said before this whole thing that the NATO summit might be the hardest for him, even though he's going to visit Theresa May in the UK and Vladimir Putin in Russia. That will happen in Helsinki on Monday. NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley for us this morning. Thanks so much, Scott.
Good to be with you, Rachel.
And more analysis on what's going on at the NATO summit and what President Trump is saying and doing there on All Things Considered this afternoon.